And welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host. Our guest author, Dr. John Acquaviva. His two books, Improving Your Sportsmanship Through Catholic Teaching and Common Sense, and Improving Your Body Image Through Catholic Teaching as well. That book published by TAN. And welcome to EWTN's Bookmark. Nice to have you on here. First-time author for us on this show. Of course, you were on with Jim and Joy and on Life on the Rock with the Friars as well. Now, this latest book, the book is Improving Your Sportsmanship Through Catholic Teaching, Common Sense, A Practical Guide for Athletes, Parents, Fans, and Coaches. What does Catholicism have to do with good sportsmanship?
It has everything to do with good sportsmanship. There's so many issues out there. There's so many stories, and with cell phones now, there's so many videos of people being bad agents in the world of sports. It especially, I think, happens at the youth sport level, especially with parents. And we need to take our faith onto the field, whether we are the athlete, whether we are the referee, the umpire, but especially if we are the parent, because everything bleeds down from the actions of the parent. And if we take our faith, respect for another, everybody has equal dignity and so forth, then that whole situation for the people involved in sports can be a little better.
You say, I've also had a few manuscripts published in professional journals, written three books, but few things give me more energy than writing and talking about sports. You say, on the other hand, doing a live radio show has a unique level of excitement, but writing about it allows for a depth that a weekly one-hour show can't match. So what is the excitement about sports, and what is it about writing?
Well, it combines two things that I love. My two passions in life are my faith and my love of sport. And that's why I wrote this book. It was easier to actually write this book. And I thought it would be a great idea to do something nobody has ever done, and that is take in our faith, our Catholicism, a sacramental life, and tie that in directly to what does it mean to be an athlete, to what it means to be a parent of that athlete, what it means to be a coach or a referee or umpire.
Now, you played a lot of sports when you were younger. You played even semi-pro ball into your 40s. Well, and you also played rugby. What was the toughest sport you ever played?
You have to go with rugby because the physical demand, but also being always the smallest guy in the field, I was injured a great deal. I actually had a couple surgeries as a result of that. They were considered major surgeries. It's a really testing sport, and everybody is very big and very fast. And when they collide, there tends to be a lot of injury. But also at the same time, it's like downhill skiing. It's also exhilarating.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say the idea is that you work as an exercise science professor and avid sports fan. What is an exercise science professor? What do you do and where do you teach?
I teach at Wingate University. Okay. It's in Wingate, North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And as an exercise scientist, I'm a certified exercise physiologist. And what that means is I have been trained to identify all the changes that occur as a result of playing sport and or working out. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is in a weight training program, we investigate and I teach what happens to the body, what happens to the bones, what happens to the muscles as a result of that weight training program. If somebody is a long distance runner, what happens to the heart, what happens to the lungs? And I teach that to our students. Mm-hmm. And in addition, I teach sports nutrition, like how we should eat as athletes and eat in general, even if you're a non-athlete. And I also teach strength and conditioning.
Now, is that for people who are taking some sort of sports-related major, or is that like a general course or a little bit of both? Or?
No general courses at this point. It's all for the major, and they are called exercise science majors.
Okay, and what will they do besides teach at a university with that degree?
Most of them actually don't go directly into exercise science. They use it as a stepping stone to go into physical therapy, which is a distant cousin, and some of them go
into... Which is very popular, obviously, with the aging...
Huge, yes. But also there's what's called sports physical therapy, so they're going to be dealing with athletes, but they also have changed in the last couple of years in which they want to train the athlete so they don't get hurt. So there's kind of like two parts of that clinic, the part that keeps them from being hurt, and then if they do get hurt, there's that other part.
So which of your children did you name ESPN?
Espen. None of those. We consider it as a middle name, but none of them we actually named, but there are people who have done that.
We could have made Getty their middle name.
With Acquaviva, you don't need any special names. It's fantastic.
Okay. That's right. The Entertainment Sports Programming Network, founded by Getty. I remember it well. I was in cable at the time. In particular, this book will have two main areas of focus. One, I will make an effort to concretely demonstrate the discussion of morality, character, and ethics within sport is worthwhile and necessary. Why necessary?
Because otherwise the situation, the experience for everybody is just awful. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, last night, my wife emailed me and she goes, "Honey, look at this email we got. this Saturday in my 11-year-old daughter's soccer game. It's called Silent Saturday. Mm-hmm. There's only one reason they're doing a Silent Saturday, Doug. It's because they want to put the focus on the field, and ultimately it's a way of saying, we don't like how a lot of you people act at these games. Right. And so that is why I ask that people engage in a prayer life and a sacramental life, because if we don't take our faith outside of the church, outside of that Mass on Sunday, it is almost worthless, right? That's the whole point, is now go and serve the Lord. That's what we do. And one of the ways we do it is through the gift of sport.
Right, it's like they kid about coming out of Mass and then cutting off people in the parking lot.
And a bunch of other stuff, yes, right. Of course.
And besides, Father, you have to wrap up because the game's on. You talk about, I want to show you how involvement in sport is a whole lot more than winning, but then you go on to say that winning must be one of the goals. I thought it was all about feeling good about yourself.
No, here's why winning must be one of the goals. Let's say you and I sit down to play checkers, right? A simple kid game that we probably learned as a child, right? Mm-hmm. Or any Monopoly, whatever, Scrabble, whatever it is. Doug, if you don't try to win, that's not going to be any fun for either one of us. Mm-hmm. You have to try to win the match. Competition is good. I think it's a blessing. And if it's not instilled in the individual, then I think it takes a lot away from the, because it is a competition. The game is a competition.
Well, life is a competition.
It is.
And whether we like to admit it or not, we're going to find ourselves in that competition.
Of course. And that's why coaches, for instance, say, this reflects, right? I'm going to teach you some of the skills that you need to use on in the everyday life. And that's why professional coaches and college coaches especially have a gift in front of them. They are preparing these men and these women for life, and they have a great opportunity.
You talk about weaving the Catholic faith into the dialogue about sports. You say, although you point out that it was only really a little over 100 years ago, maybe when Pius X was talking about the importance of sports.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a relatively new thing, taking our faith and saying, what does sports have to do with Catholic faith or being a Christian for that matter? Right. And it was our popes who were the first to do that publicly, mm-hmm. in which they said, you have been given a gift, you have been given a gift of talent, you have an opportunity to impact so many people through that sport, so let's take our faith into that arena so our Catholic faith is displayed. And we don't have to mention, of course, anything about the sacraments, we don't have to mention anything about going to Mass, but through respect of the process alone, we can show that we are people of God.
Well, you say this book will make clear the parameters that can make sports both something that is an enriching daily experience as well as means to directly impact our salvation. So how does me playing a sport impact my salvation?
Yeah, that's probably the best question you could ask. Because our salvation deals directly with our faithfulness, right? The great Mother Teresa said something along the lines of, God doesn't care about success, he cares about faithfulness.
Faithfulness, right.
So I would argue that we want to be successful, that, mm-hmm. that it is in our nature to be successful in whatever you're doing. You're hosting a radio program, you're writing a book, you're a teacher, you're an accountant, whatever that is, you want to be successful. But if we don't temper that with the teachings of our Lord, mm-hmm. then we are impacting our relationship with God. God has asked something of us, and God asks something from us in everything we do, including being involved in sport.
You say sport is an important part of our contemporary culture. Who could argue differently? You go and cite the millions of people involved, like watching the World Cup and the Super Bowl. Why do you think it's so important? Is it more important today than it used to be?
I think there's a couple reasons why sport is more important. I think there's more money involved than ever. I think that's a clear answer to that question. And as we know, it's creeped into the college sport, right? Where just a couple years ago, the NCAA president said, we will never have paid athletes. Mm-hmm. And that, from what I understand, that same president is still in place, and now he's speaking a different language, right? They allow what's called NIL, name, image, and likeness.
Sure, right.
And now they don't have to do anything for that money. All they have to do is sign on the dotted line, and then they can be given a salary. And sometimes it's not just in the tens of thousands, it's in the millions, some of these college students.
Right.
Pro players are making
contracts are coming for college. It has to.
Yeah, and of course the pro contracts are bigger than ever. And you know things are crazy when Lionel Messi, the great international player, turned down a contract of I think about $137 million per year to play in Saudi Arabia, but he turned it down. People could have played anywhere a few years ago for the largest contract, but it shows that he ultimately says, I have enough money. I don't need to sign for $137 million. Think about what that says, Duck, about our culture, that somebody is turning down a $137 million contract per year to play soccer.
Right. You also talk about, you know, some of the organizations like our friends at Catholic Athletes for Christ.
Yes.
We've dealt with them over the years. And you talk about coaches, sports administrators, referees, umpires, parents, and other family members must recognize their role playing sports as truly noble and, yes, a holy endeavor. Now, certainly the refs and the umpires, you kind of understand, you know, they're doing hopefully the best they can.
Yeah.
Parents seem to be getting a little over the top, maybe trying to live out too much through their own children.
That's right.
There's also, I guess, a sense, too, because there's a lot of, since there's more money to be made either through scholarship or directly through money, there's also, for many cases, parents who see this as a way for their kid to make a living or at least to undercut some of the expenses they have to pick up.
Of course.
More than before. And so these losses or successes and their personal numbers become more important than the success of the team.
You should have co-wrote this book with me. No, that's exactly true. There's more pressure than ever. And one of the things I'll put on, which is a Catholic thing, is low birth rate has added to this. This is something that people don't talk about, people don't like to talk about, that people generally don't write about or discuss in any conversation, whether it's in a public eye or in private settings. But when you have one child or two children, it puts a great deal of emphasis on their success. They can put more money into those children or into that child. And ultimately, it puts more pressure on the parents because what that kid does is a big reflection of the parents, right? And that's, you know, the old saying is, you know, people are living through the success or the defeats of their children, and it hits on our pride. Right. And of course, when our pride is hit, we often act in the opposite of what, in the way our Lord taught us.
Like you said, with the fewer children, and in so many broken families, where you're really dealing with, you know, a child, you know, one or two children basically coming out of a broken marriage and the impact of that. Now, I thought it was interesting because you talk a lot about, and I thought it well said, about the parents' roles, especially on putting pressure and quite honestly, the poor sportsmanship and outrageous behavior that's gone on. But you talk about a Facebook page I never heard of called Offside.
Yeah.
What's that?
Offside is a Facebook page that was developed by a youth soccer referee simply because he was fed up with the parental behavior at games. The parents would berate the coach for their decisions, not playing my son or daughter. Right. They would berate the coach for strategy decisions. They would berate the referee, and sometimes they would even get on not just the opposing team, but sometimes the teammates of their son or daughter. And so what he did was, he knows that a lot of people have their phone at the ready, and when people would videotape these actions, to try to discourage them from doing it again, he would post it on Facebook, and basically to try to embarrass them into good behavior.
Right, and maybe to say, is that what I look like too?
Yeah, of course.
When I'm raging there?
Of course.
You say the issue that the term good has been marginalized or even redefined. Philosophies such as winning is everything, do whatever it takes, seem to reign in many circles of sport, all levels, and thus justify any behavior. But I remember Vince Lombardi, winning is everything, it's the only thing. So it's not like that philosophy per se is new. But what's different then in your mind?
Yeah, in fact, one of the things I point out in that book is even Vince Lombardi, who said that winning is everything.
He was a good Catholic.
He was a faithful Catholic. In fact, from what I understand, he was a daily communicant.
Right, he went to Fordham.
Yeah.
One of the seven blocks of granite.
There you go.
That's right, yeah.
And one of the things he said that is never, it's never discussed in interviews or written anywhere, almost nowhere, it's written in this book in which he said, I wish I'd never had said the darn thing. Mm-hmm. What I meant was giving the effort, putting forth the effort to be successful. If you fall short, that's okay, but you need to give that effort to be successful. And he literally said, I wish I'd never said that, because winning, he knew that winning wasn't everything. He had a faithful life, and he had a relationship with Christ to know that that wasn't the end all, that salvation doesn't come through winning games. It comes through winning through faithfulness to the teachings of our Lord.
And knowing if you've done your best.
Of course.
Right.
Right. That's all you can ask from some people. And sometimes it's just not enough to win.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Well, somebody's got to win. That's the way it ends up in life. Life does doesn't. You might mark on a curve once in a while as a professor, but life doesn't do that, does it?
No.
It doesn't work that way. Sport is not just good, it's divine. And then a section on virtue for the athlete, I thought it was loyalty, self-sacrifice, fairness, discipline. Self-sacrifice, not that popular. Discipline doesn't seem to be a priority these days. And you're seeing even more and more with some of it. They're talking about college sports. We're talking about that, how the discipline has had to be laxed a bit more because the players can just get up and leave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's lack of loyalty, for instance, to that institution. And we all accept it. And I think what that is ultimately going to mean, by the NCAA granting the ability to leave at any moment, literally, right, and transfer as many times. There was a guy last year who played for his fifth school in 5 years. He had literally transferred. Right. And my concern, of course, is did he get a degree in the process? One of the things that
I don't think that was his priority.
I don't think that was his priority either. But when he's 30 and he's jobless, he's going to wish he had a degree.
Well, absolutely.
And that's one of the philosophies of some coaches, and of course the philosophy of the NCAA. They are not just athletes, they are student athletes. I could write a book on that alone, on where the NCAA has gone wrong.
Are there student athletes anymore?
There are, in fact.
At least in the top division?
There are still some of them. There's no question about it, right, that it's kind of like the junior high kid that everybody always thinks the junior high kid is just a smart aleck 14-year-old that spends all day on there. But no, there are some really good kids that serve their communities that aren't addicted to cell phones and aren't addicted to the bad things in our culture. And it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But remember, there's 2,900 four-year schools out there, and almost all of them have some sports program. And most of them are vying for giving effort, staying disciplined to get that degree because they know that's the greater end.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the college quarterback, UNLV or whichever school it was,
UNLV.
Played three games or something and decided the NIL wasn't enough, decided to leave the team.
So, well, in fairness, they promised him $100,000 and they gave him $20,000.
Yeah, but just the fact that that's even an issue anymore.
We wouldn't even have thought of this 5 years ago.
Yeah, virtue for the coach. You talk about a baseball coach, you know, like yelling out to let the ball go and stuff like that, and these kind of like sneaky little things.
Oh, yeah.
And you say the purpose of this discussion is to surface how the adults involved in sports are disingenuous. What do you mean they're disingenuous?
Well, if somebody put a microphone in front of them from the local newspaper or television station, they'd say, why are you doing this? And they're like, well, we're doing this for the kids. We're doing this because we want to have them have a good experience. We want to teach them some lessons in life that are going to be translatable from being on the field to being in high school and beyond and so forth in the workforce. And then ultimately they're doing whatever they can, and they're slighting the rules or specifically cheating the rules of the game so they can, to their advantage, to try to win the game.
Right,
and there's all kinds of examples.
Right, and when you get into high school coaches, certainly in the Southeast and things like that, those are big money jobs too for high school coaches. In Chapter 4, you talk about the Bishop of Detroit, where you're originally from, Alan Vigneron, who talked about the fact that CYO shouldn't be playing on Sundays. Gee, what a surprise, I remember. And so, and of course, the Detroit sports writer, Catholic father, said that was idiotic to do that. But you make the point that we need to stay in our lane. You say, let's create a new saying, coaches teach, players play, and parents cheer and pay. That sounds like it's from the 1950s. That's a throwback.
That is a throwback, but I would argue for several more chapters that is the role, at least, you know, the overhead view of that parents have their roles, and once they say yes to that person to volunteer, if that person decides to take that whistle, Doug, mm-hmm. That person decides to take that clipboard and spend all this time, everything from emailing, coordinating the schedule, working with referees, training those kids, even though they're not paid, mm-hmm. they deserve the right to make decisions, right or wrong. If it's a moral thing, that's a different issue. Right. But if it's decisions that they're making to play this kid and not kid, to run this offense and not that offense, they are given the right to do that. It's right. Just something that should be accepted in our culture, and the parents too many times overstep mm-hmm. their bounds and say, here's how you need to coach. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to that coach.
You say, don't hesitate to pull a kid from a team for the right reasons. What would be an example of the right reasons?
If their grades are really terrible, mm-hmm. If their behavior at home is egregious, if they're doing things outside of family life that are not making a good name for that family. Mm-hmm. And I think to a degree, it's like a last, it's a final movement on the way of the parent, but know that the parents should have some say in that, and that could be a way to set them back on the path.
Okay, improving your sportsmanship through Catholic teaching and common sense. Second book we'll touch on in the closing minutes, improving your body image through Catholic teaching, how theology of the body and other church writings can transform your life. Now, this book is about, what, 4 or 5 years old now?
Yeah, the second version is, yeah, it's a new version.
Okay, so why did you decide to write a book about body image?
In my field, we talk a lot about the body. That's all we talk about, right? And being an advisor, every college professor advises students as well. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to get a good relationship, especially with some of the students who may relate to you. For instance, they're Catholic. They come from the same part of the country you are. They have the same sports team. Whatever the case is that draws them to you and draws you to the student. And one of the things about that relationship, Doug, is over the years, my 20-plus years as a professor, a lot of people, especially women, have shared with me that they struggle with body image, that they don't like the way they look, they don't like the way that they're perceived by others, they look in the mirror and they see something less than perfect or beautiful, and it brings stress to them.
Right.
And over the years, I've read a lot of articles, even books on body image, but it was remiss because they never brought in the spiritual aspect.
Okay. Right. Do you think most would tend to think, and I'm wondering if you would agree, that certainly the internet and things like that have just made that worse, right?
It's made it awful. The social media, it's something that we do, which is a good thing. In other words, we have to choose to go to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, social media sites, everything from TikTok to Instagram, have played a major role here. By the way, nobody has decided which one has the biggest piece of that puzzle, but that certainly, in my mind, would be the biggest piece of that puzzle.
Well, you say here, the media has convinced us that we can be physically perfect, and as a result, many have preoccupation with appearance. More importantly, they think their body lacks beauty or relevance unless they are found attractive, sexually lean, or all three, and they desire to cure their body of imperfections. And obviously, you see it today with eating disorders and the cosmetic surgery, steroid use by non-athletes, etc. like that. And these poor people don't realize that what they see on Instagram is not real.
Of course. The most interesting story I tell in that book is when an editor of a magazine, a monthly magazine, came in to talk to my students in a body image class that I was teaching. And she told them how, at the time, it was new, how Adobe Photoshop worked.
Right.
And she showed the before and after pictures of several people. Like, for instance, this one, beautiful woman naturally, but she was probably around 45. And she had wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And she had blemishes on her hands. And they showed her, this woman, this editor showed her the before and after. And after that whole conversation, a student in the back, with tears in her eyes, say, "Why do they do that to us?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "It's just part of this profession that we want to convey that this person that you can actually look perfect through the use of this shampoo, the use of this whatever product it is.
It's going to make you happy. It's going to make you beautiful.
And then therefore you're going to
be expanding on all these wonderful vacations of people's pictures. That's why sometimes when you see the scam photo and people have this thing, here I am, my beautiful, and then they show you standing on outside their house or something.
That's right, of course.
You know, and it making it look like something's going on.
Of course.
You said, like any teacher, I gained a great deal of insight on this topic. What changed most was my compassion towards the students. How so?
Well, they would not only be vulnerable enough to share this story, but you could see the pain that they had as they were saying this. Sometimes tears would be coming out. They would literally sometimes close my door off for obvious reason. I like to keep the door at least ajar, but sometimes they would close the door, and for the first time in their life, I could tell they were sharing this pain, this obsession, and it really was paralyzing to some of them. And the irony, Doug, was some of the people sitting in front of me were some of the most pretty people on campus,
right?
Both handsome and or pretty, and it happens to them all.
Right. You say in the opening chapters, part one, there'll be discussion of broad scope of body image crisis, and then in the final two chapters, you make a sincere attempt at offering an answer to the problem. So give us a perspective on a little idea of what some of those answers might be.
The answer lies in seeing our body as a great tool. And the example I like to give is Mass. Mm-hmm. If you were to watch a tape of somebody at daily Mass or at Sunday Mass, and you sped up that video, it would look like they're doing aerobics, right? Because we sit, we stand, we kneel, we sit, we stand, we kneel. And the fact that we can kneel, which is the most reverent position the human body can take, the fact that we can do that we should be thankful for. And when we turn our thoughts toward what can our body do for us, rather than how imperfect it is, we're on that road to healthy behavior.
Right. You say here, our faith is not designed to erase or ease life's challenges, including those that occur from a negative body image, but the faith is here to lift us up when those challenges occur.
Of course. Those challenges are going to be there all the time.
Right.
And one of the things, like for high school students, where I mentioned that social media, movies, TV, all that stuff, we have to go to it. But the one thing that comes to us daily, Doug, for the high schooler or for even people just in the workplace, are other people that we see, especially if they dress immodestly, especially if they are young and attractive, and they raise the bar for everybody. In other words, I haven't gone to that. That thing has come to me. And I think through a prayer life and helping putting things in perspective can ease those situations that we...
Well, there's a couple of interesting chapters for people who want to pick up the book. One of them, did Eve think she was too fat? Another one is, would Adam have taken steroids? So you have to check that out to find out the answer for those questions. Thank you so much.
Thank
John,
you, John.
John Acquaviva, two books, Improving Your Sportsmanship Through Catholic Teaching and Common Sense, and Improving Your Body Image Through Catholic Teaching, both available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic. Thanks for joining us. We shall see you next time right here on Bookmark. Thanks.